Bruchim Aboyim to the 19th in the series of lectures, Shi'urim, on the redaction of the Babylonian Talmud, the Chasim Mesashas. Last week's Shi'ur, I came to the conclusion, the tentative conclusion, that in fact the Talmud was first written and studied as a written document on a whole sometime in the 11th century, probably towards the first half of the 11th century. And that I deduced from the Sefer Kabbalah of the Ravid, in particular the story of the Arba Shvuim. Those of you who, and I agree with you, those think that my interpretation was a little bit tenuous, but what we like to do is like to be first tenuous, then we like to bring more proof. And the Mitzvah Shem, today I'm going to actually go through the Hakdama of the Mi'iri to Pirkei Avos, who in fact actually says so about explicitly, that in fact actually the switch from what's called an oral culture to a written culture took place around the end of the time of the Goyim, the beginning of the time of the Rishonim. And there are two Edim who said like that. I might be Kosher Apostle, but Shlomo Zalman Havlin, the editor of the Eitz HaGoyim and Shuvos HaGoyim, says it explicitly in his Hakdama. Okay.
You know, so yes. Can I ask a couple of questions?
Yes, yeah, sure.
You claim that the Gemara was first written down in the 11th century.
Yes, in the sometime in the 11th century.
I think there's a Rambam that says that he saw a text of the Gemara that was 500 years.
That's in Hilchos Balva Vayleiva, right? Paraktes, right? Okay, let's let me pick up a Rambam here. Oh, very good. It is true that the Rambam in Perek Tezvav, in Hilchos Malva Leiva, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, says that he's seen a piece of Gemara which is actually from 500 years ago. But the Lashon of the Rambam there is, let's see now, he says like this, Chachatil anuschois ha-yishanus, matzasi behem she'nema, v'gil yad ha-mitzrayim, miktsas gemara yishana. Now, my gilsa in this Rambam is miktsas gemara yishana. I don't remember where anywhere someone is erases the gilsa and puts gemara yishana. Why would the Rambam, you know, waste four letters, miktsas gemara yishana? The Chas v'sholom, we shouldn't think that 500 years ago there was an entire text of the Gemara that was replete. I think whoever ignores this diuk and misses Gemara basically has just misunderstood the entire Rambam. There is true that, like we said before, there is true that we have chiburim, like the Sheiltis, like Rav Yehudai Gaon, who will bring sections of the Gemara, right? And for sure, they'll quote sections of the Gemara. The Sheiltis quote sections of the Gemara. But the fact is, and actually it makes sense, because the Rambam is the 12th century, and the Sheiltis is around the 8th century. So actually, from 500 years, we will see that Goyim will actually be writing Chiburim, in which they will quote parts of Gemaras. But the Rambam, in no way, in fact, the Rambam is explicitly saying that you shouldn't mistake. I'm not saying I saw an entire Talmud. I saw mitzvahs of old Gemaras.
Saying that that's what he saw.
That's what he saw, right.
That's what he saw. That doesn't mean that there wasn't anything else.
Well, put it this way. If the Rambam had Masayra, how come he had... Well, okay. But we have no raya that was anything before this, but we're going to see a Mi'iri that says exactly the opposite. I mean, what are we going to... In other words...
So you don't have a raya from...
I don't have a raya that there was no Gemara before 500 years. Although, I'm a little bit surprised. Because if the Rambam had an entire Gemara in his possession, why examine a mitzvahs Gemara? Why don't you just... examine your shot machine shots.
Obviously, he didn't have a whole one.
A part of a mitzvah. That's what the Rambam is saying. Okay? But actually, we're going to see in the Be'ili that he's going to say more explicitly what I said last time. But anyway, the Rambam is actually a riot towards me.
Rabbi Truss's claim is that the entire Gemara was not written down.
Right. There was no entire text of the Gemara that people learned from. What people did was. Right. For example, there might have been things like the Rif. That they, in other words, or Rav Yehudai Gaon is the 8th century. The Sheiltis of the 8th century. By the way, Derech Agav, you should understand something. The position of people like Epstein is that the Shiltas is actually a pre-Gemara. What the Shiltas is quoting is not the actual final edition of the Gemara, it's actually a pre-Gemara. And a little bit of a raya for this is because when we learned the Gemara in Tamur Daf Yud Beis, the Shiltas had a different girsa. There is no different girsa of the Gemara that appears anywhere, but rather the Shiltas was actually, you know, quoting part of that Gemara. And that seems to be a type of lishnachrina before the final redaction of a Gemara. But in any case, I think it's rather clear. The Rambam says, I saw parts of an old Gemara, and that's all there was parts. The Rambam didn't say, I examined my 8th century Shatanchin art scroll Shas, and it says differently. So the Rambam is clearly a proof and a guide to what I'm saying. And the figure 500 is very good. You have Yudai going, the Shi'iltis. Right, is in the 8th century. So, you know, Baruch Hashem, I'm very happy you brought it right into what I'm saying.
Also, Rabbi Chavitz has said this before a few times, but just for clarity, Rabbi Chavitz claims that the change from the oral culture to the written culture was a change from Halachas Pesukas to Mefarshei HaTalmud.
Right.
So, Kasha from both sides on that. Why... questions.
Yeah.
The Rambam in his Hakdama says that the Gaonim wrote Pirushim on the Gemara.
Yeah.
According to Rabbi Chavitz, that should be Akasha because it's an oral culture, should be no Pirushim. And conversely, after the redaction, the writing of the Gemara, we find many people who wrote still Halachas Pesukas.
Well, first of all, the second question is not even a question. I mean, just because they invented the airplane doesn't mean people just use cars. I mean, that's ridiculous. But actually, we're going to speak about a Netziv, that we have two, that, in other words, during the time of the Goyim, there was only one form of literature that was popular. After the time of the Goyim, we have two types of literature that are popular. The Netziv speaks about that. There are Peulshim on the Gemara, and there's also called Halachas Pesukos. And we'll speak about that, if not this time, Mitzvah next time. I'm trying to get to this time. Regarding your question, well, first of all, what's called Goyim? Rabbeinu Hananel wrote a Perush of the Gemara. That's the 11th century. I mean, the Biri is going to say, of high Goyim. In other words, what the Rambam calls Goyim is certainly 11th century. I think even the Biri, because the Biri Mitzvah is going to say, Rabbeinu Hananel, Rabbi Shmuel Hanokit, of high Goyim, right, are 11th century. So it is true that, in other words, the Perushim of Goyim takes place in 11th century. In other words, 11th century is the turnover from Goyim and Rishonim. So what we have is that we do have Perushim of Goyim, of Ahai Goyim, or of Ben Hanan, or Ben Ogelshim, but this is all the 11th century. My claim is that in the 11th century, you have the change of paradigm. In other words, there are people who are called, in other words, the Rambam was referring to people in the 11th century, right, the early part of the 11th century of Ahai Goyim, as called Goyim. Everybody would call Ahai Goyim, let's even Rav Hanan Chanos could be referred to the Rambam as a Goyim, Rabbeinu Gershom, right? Rabbeinu Hananel. They wrote Perushim on Shas. But this is all the 11th century. In fact, Rabbeinu Hananel, the son, is one of the Abba Shvuim. He's the son of the Abba Shvuim. On the contrary, the Goyim that we claim wrote Perushim on Shas were actually the sons of the Abba Shvuim. The Abba Shvuim are technically Goyim. About 50 years after that, then we have what's called the Talmud of the Rishon. We're going to see it explicitly in the Mi'ari. Okay? That should be very, very clear. What the Rambam is calling Goyim is 11th century, early 11th century. The Abi Shvuim is beginning of the 11th century. Shalom Yisrael, beautiful. Okay, fine. Now, but you don't need me. Let's learn the Me'ili. So, what I brought today is, we should have learned the Me'ili first. And learn the Abba Shvuim, but first of all, I always like to say the Chiddush first. And secondly, the Abba Shvuim gives what you would call the historical generation, momentum. But the Me'ili, let's learn the Me'ili. Now, as you all know, the Me'ili wrote a very famous Hakdama on Pirkei Avos, which is basically a type of a Shalshelas HaKabbalah, and it was reprinted by Mahon Opek in Tovshin Nun Beis, and is reprinted as Sefer HaKabbalah. It comes in different colors. Mm. This is the color that I bought. I thought it was similar to Techedes when I originally bought it, but I see it's not. It was actually, it came from a very reliable Ksav Yad, and the editor is who put very, very excellent notes. First of all, I want to thank Rabbi Shoshana, who I know personally. You did a very good job in the Sefer HaKabbalah. And also, too, the editor is Shlomo Zalman Havlin, who who's a chashev, very chashev, a Talmud Chacham, and also too, I think he's the editor of the Tshuvas HaGa'onim, the last five volumes says Oitz HaGa'onim. And I'm going to begin, and just I want to quote Shlomo Zalman Havlin. So before you start arguing with me, you should just know what he says. He says, he says in the Mavo, the introduction, which is Daf Mem Zayin, he says, Yesh l'rois b'zeh ma'ava machriya ben ha-masira bi'alpeh l'vein ha-masira b'chsav. Right? The Shlomo Zalman Havlin says, as I've done, we're going to see in the Meiri that there's a clear ma'ava between what's called the Talbus ha-limit bi'alpeh and the Talbus ha-masira b'chsav, which I'm calling oral culture to written culture. So Baruch Shekivanti to the translation of Shlomo Zalman Havlin. But I want to read from the Meiri. Now, the Meiri is speaking about, his Meiri actually spends a lot of time, at least, right, discussing the Ma'avar, the period that goes from the time of the Ga'onim to the Rishonim. It occupies a lot here in the Meiri. Now, in the Sefer HaKabbalah here, it's on page 122, right? So he's speaking about the time of the Ga'onim. In other words, actually, this section is called the seventh parak. I mean, I think that the prokem, I don't remember the prokem being in his original Hagdama. Maybe Rabbi Havlin put in the prokem. But he brings the story of Shmuel HaNogid and the Shvuyim, Rabbeinu Chananel, Moshe ben Chanoich, all the big stars of Shir 18. Right after that, he starts speaking about the change in paradigm from an oral culture to a written culture. So let's read from the Meiri. V'ru sh'teta sh'adayna yeshivas gedolos v'nechbadois. There were still the big yeshivas. Talmidim, merubim, terasim, umnasim. There were many talmidim. And the rosh yeshivas, anismachim v'ga'oinos. There's a whole, a rosh yeshivas called a goin. Not like today, like, you know, not everybody became a goin. Right, Shloya Dalkal and Mush Bitech Oil Yom Valaila, and they would not leave the Yeshiva Yom Valaila. Okay, now says the Meiri, I'm reading the Lashon of the Meiri, right? Vahoyu Yoidim Kol HaTalmud Al Peh. They knew the Talmud, the whole Talmud by heart. And the Kor was there, or close to the whole Talmud by heart. Vedivrei Torah, VaTalmud Soda Befiyah. It was Stura Befiyah. In other words, they taught it orally. Kapasha Shema. You know, just like you would say Shema Yisrael, they said over, I don't know, Bab Metzia, Bab Basra. Umitoich Kach, because of this, says the Meiri, Lo hayu royim atzmam tzrichim lahar bechubereim. They didn't find it necessary to write things down. Or at least the Memarech. They wrote kitzes for it. Shekola perush hayasud b'fiyam. Because all the perush was sod b'fiyam. What does that mean? Their perushim were purely oral. V'hoyu b'neim k'sivas perush advarim. To write a perush, to write a commentary on the Gemara, k'mish yichtoy b'zbaneinu zeh laza bilois. It was like a person would write a dictionary, or write an article, whatever. You know, whatever it is. In other words, they didn't find the need to write perushim on the Gemara. Exactly what I'm saying. Baruch shekivanti. V'gom lehem zeh, shlo yukosim rak ma'at. So they only wrote a little bit. And what they wrote? They wrote Derech Pesach. Right? Or is it ain't Derech Pelush, ain't Derech Pesach. They wrote a little bit of a Pelush. Right? Or Derech Pesach. Only a little bit. Okay? Ravkam Zois, etc., etc. Okay, so basically, what is the Meiri saying? The Meiri saying is, during the Tekufa of the Goyim, I mean, this is still in the, like, the 11th, Lebaisa, this is still in the 11th century. Beginning the 11th century, it was basically everything is mostly oral. There are a little bit Derech Pelush, there is Derech Psak, but the Pelushim were oral. The Pelushim were oral. The emphasis is that there was an oral tradition. Now, what happens? I'm going to skip over a few pages, right? And then he speaks about what's called the Kufas Achiburim.
Which page?
It's page 126. I'm sorry. Page 126 in the Sefer Kabbalah of Ofik Institute, which is the Perush Meili Zakdavat the Pirkei Avot. Now, we come to the Perushim. Okay? So he says, the Ofik Talmud. Who's the Ofik Talmud? He talks about Rashi. Right? Asher Yischilu Lechaber. They began writing Chibureyim. They began writing, you know, written, right? Written books. Lahoyel Ta'elas Klali Umma, to help the nation. Now, he's saying two things. They wrote books to help the whole nation. Why they help the whole nation? That's exactly what I said in Shir 18. When the Torah was an oral culture and it was transmitted within the two yeshivas, spoke about this in the Torah Shama, the Rambam Zakdama. There's no need to go out. It's a small circle. It's oral. And most we write down are Piskei Halachas. Once the Torah goes into exile, it's the Abba Shvuyim, it reaches the shores of, you know, of continents and places. No longer the two yeshivas now have a monopoly over the Torah. The number one, we have what's called a textual culture. We have chiburim, lechtov, and we have the chiburim leklalei ha'uma, for the entire nation, because everybody's learning Kabbalah. That's clear. Kol achad begvulai, everybody wrote what he wanted. Umehem noftza kol ha'aretz, and this spread over the entire land. Okay? The derech klal, says the Meili, saying where it says, ani oimeh b'chol ma'ashel ha'mayla mehem, everything before the Rishonim, including the Goyim, mipihem v'lo b'piksavim. In other words, before the Rishonim, which means the 11th century, mipihem v'lo b'piksavim, from their mouths, and I'm going to have to say it slow because some people don't hear it so well. I have to understand so well. I have from their mouths and not from their manuscripts. But then, after that, it's Mipi Seifim Velo Mipi... and it was Mipi Seifim Velo Mipi Svarim. In other words, basically, what happens is, before the Rishonim, it was an oral culture. It was transmitted orally. However, with the Rishonim, it got different. And says the Meiri, page 128, okay, in the Sefer Kabbalah Ofik Institute version of the Meiri Hakdama. V'noshu l'dvarenu shemihazman haniska v'inenu ritzalim ma'at go'oinus Rabbeinu Chanana from Rabbeinu Chanana. See? That's the pshat of the Rambam Hakdama. Rabbeinu Chanana nismata yediyas hachachamim. There's a lessening of this hachamim. Right? V'srav chamalas hachiburim v'haperushim. So l'maisa, the Meiri puts the turning point. What?
Translate the last phrase.
Nismata yediyas hachachamim. The knowledge of chachamim became less. Visrach v'malas hachiburim v'aperushim. The works and commentaries became greater. In other words, and this was from the Zaman of Rabbeinu Haigoin. So Rabbeinu Haigoin is the middle of the 11th century. Rabbeinu Hanan is also 11th century. He's the son of one of the Abba Shvuyin. Rav Haigoin was the Goin at that time. He's the senior father of Shu Goin was there at the very beginning of the 11th century. So the Meiri is saying the breaking point, the point at which we cease being Mipi Avalon Mipi Ksava, that takes place in the middle of the 11th century. Very good. And that includes the Rabbeinu Chanana. But that was right. And then begins the Chiburim. Now, who's the first Chiburim? He calls Rabbeinu Chanana. That's the 11th century. It's very good. Rav Haigoin also writes. It was basically what the Rambam is saying in the Hakdama is the Goyin means Rav Haigoin Rabbeinu Chanana. That's clear. It's partial like that.
The Maaseh Rashi is also gone now.
Right, in the Chanami. But in other words, since Rashi is after Rabbeinu Chananel, you consider him a Rishon. It's a little bit like the Torah.
Called Gaonim. Wouldn't it have been neater to changed the name from Gaon to Rishonim.
So I'll tell you why. Because it could possibly be that Rav Chaim Goyen was, formerly, he was the head of the two yeshivas. We know they continued after that too. But I'm saying is that, in other words, the Rabbeinu Chana, but in other words, there's no question of Chaim Goyen writes. Rav Shulchan Ogid writes. The Midrash says previously they write. But once again, it begins... All of this begins in the 11th century.
They are Rishonim, you say, except that he happened to be
called... Right, in other words, it's like the Torah. It's a Torah Rishon and Achray. So those, it depends. The Nusach is a Nusach of an Achray. He summarizes Rishonim, but at the end of like, he has the Torah, the Rishon. It's the Ram, Rishon or Achray. Same thing too. In other words, what you have is like the Ben HaShemashos. You have Goyim acting like Rishonim, and Rishonim acting like Goyim. And every Babi Rab Chad Yoyman knows that this is what goes on. Even in science too, you have periods in which, you know, this Poincaré transformations, and it comes relativity. Every person who's picked up a science book in the last several years, over the last 40, 50 years, understands that that's true too. So what I'm saying is like this. What is the Me'iri saying? What the Me'iri is saying is clearly, the Me'iri basically is saying over the Shia that I said. That's what he's doing. He's saying over the Shia that I said. The Me'iri is saying is that the transfer, the transformation from an oral culture to a written culture takes place around the 11th century, and it's basically what differentiates and characterizes the Tekufas HaGoyim with the Tekufas HaRishonim. That's the Me'iri saying. Yeah, question.
There's one thing I'm not getting. Why are we saying that necessarily there weren't complete shasses?
Because we don't speak of...
Meaning... That you could say that there was...
You can say anything. We don't. The first Shasim, the first manuscripts of Shasta we have are from the 11th century. Okay? That's the first manuscript that we have. There isn't... The only thing that we saw, which I agree, right, is the Ratchunai Goyin, which is a machlus with myself and Halel, you know, exactly how to understand it. But... Except for this Aedis of Natoi Goy, it could possibly be the people are writing, you know, Gemaras for them, whatever it is. But the mindset, in other words, the fact is, it's not a question of someone, you know, went away in the middle of the night and wrote a Shas. The question is, when was what an oral culture versus a written culture?
You know, was it based on the written Gemara as opposed to beforehand? It could be...
You could say it. I'd love you to say it. But the Me'iri clearly feels that either it's not true or it's irrelevant. Okay, that's it. And the Rambam is saying what I'm saying. Mitzas. Why Mitzas? He didn't have a whole Shas in front of him. The answer is that he had a whole Shas. It was printed about 100 years before that. That was it. Or written 100 years before that. That's what's going on. And it makes sense.
The break of the yeshivas caused that everyone would have written Gemaras because they needed it. And that's why it became based on that.
But does it make a difference? Okay. Very good. Very good. So the necessity sometimes requires things to it. I mean, the Rambam says that because the purity of the goal is this and that. By the Derech Agav, you know, if we learn the Me'iri, we see clearly what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, it's very interesting, the Rambam says they weren't learning in the yeshivas, ba'alafim, thousands, this and that. They went to the different parts of the world. So everybody thinks that the Rambam is speaking about the 5th century of Avinu Rav Ashi. It's not known that there was any dispersion at that time. I claim the Rambam is speaking the 11th century. That's what I claim. The Rambam is from the 11th century. That's the pshat of the Rambam. In any case, Eidus Ne'mana Rabbeinu Menachem HaMe'iri. Yeah.
Several weeks ago, the Rav pointed out that a lot of the other historians, Mechaber, whatever, did not clearly state when the Shas was actually written.
Right.
And you use that as indication that either they don't know or they're trying to cover up for something.
Here
the Me'iri is really doing the same thing. So there's a lot of inference that one can make here, but he also is certainly, in the event that he's actually referring to the Shas being completed, he's playing it down.
Yeah, okay. First of all, you are right, and actually you stole the Shia from me, because that's what I want to speak about. That was my question. Like, can I rephrase your question?
Sure.
And tell me if I was mechaber to what you're saying. The question is, what I'm saying certainly stims, jives with everything the Me'iri is saying. But the question is, how come the Me'iri is not saying what I'm saying? Because the Me'iri speaks about going from an oral culture to a written culture. The Abishvuyim seems to indicate that there was a breakaway from Pumbedisa. In other words, everything I'm saying can be, inferred. Well, put it this way. Everything I'm saying makes sense in view of what they're saying. But how can it be he doesn't say outright? You want to know something? The Gemara was written at that time. Now, first of all, I want to claim the Miri is Meramis to it. Because the Miri says, Mi PM velo mi pi ksavon. What's the Miri quoting? He's quoting the Gemara in Gittin. Oh, no, it's Gemara Yudches and Ksuvis. But what does Yudches and Ksuvis mean? In other words, the Torah says that if you write something, it's possible. Eidos. You have to say it, right? Mi pi lo ksavon. And he says, Mi pi soifim lo mi pi svarim. In other words, the Miri is basically saying, Mi pi lo pi ksavon means that the Mesiyos HaTeh was bedafka ba'al peh and not b'ksav. So, he's being meramis on that, but your question still remains. In other words, why not say it? Why not say, you know, the Gemara was first written down publicly in the 11th century, right? So, there's two answers to that. The one answer is that it could possibly be that, in other words, and this is what I spoke about when I spoke about the Targoy. What's historically significant is not whether the Gemara was written down, but was it an oral culture or a written culture? In other words, we see, for example, that the Rambam says in the Hakdama that people would write it down, take their own notes and everything. You know, it wasn't that there was this to write, well, maybe it was this to write it down and to teach it. In other words, it could possibly be that here, in Toshin Samach Tes, we're raising a question, when was it written down? But for the Rishonim, right, the question is not so much whether it was written down. It wasn't like writing on Shabbos, right? But the question is, right, how was the Torah disseminated? How was it imparted? In other words, for them, that wasn't the issue. In other words, the issue is not so much whether I'm writing down the Shas. The issue is, right, am I learning from a text? Or is the Torah being disseminated b'al peh? In other words, possibly that's the issue. Like, for example, I mean, the Rambam debates the eternity of the world with Aristotle. I mean, the question is, I mean, that's what the Rishonim say. It's things that we find strange theologically today. That's the way they saw things. In other words, the Meili understood is that basically, right, the issue is here, not so much whether I can write something down or not, but the issue really is, in fact, how is Torah being disseminated? How it's being passed down? How's it being taught? Is it an oral culture or written culture? That's the perspective they're looking at it. It could possibly be that I write down the Gemara and put it in my closet. But when I teach it, when I debate it, when I explain it orally. Which, as we've seen during these 18 shiurim, it's significantly different than if I'm operating from a text. That's one thing. However, I can give a second tailet. The second tailet is that it could be, you know, it's very, very interesting. Let's look at the Rambam, the Hakdama. The Rambam begins the Hakdama by saying that the entire Torah was given with Peirusha. And he quotes the Pasuk, the Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah that most of you know, right, as Luchas Ever Teva Mitzvah Shekosafti, the Rambam basically summarizes the Drosh of Chassad of Haman Alvin Brochais. The Torah is given with Peirusha from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's only later on in the Hakdama that the Rambam tells me about Peirushim Shineschachu through Yigim Avidus in every generation. The Rambam only tells me later on in the Hakdama, like Derech Agav, you should know something, that what I wrote in the Hakdama, that's only like several halachas l'Moshe B'Sinai. Most of the Torah, like he says in the Shemesh Shaini, was really generated in previous generations. How come he didn't mention that in the beginning of Dhamma? When you read the Dhamma in the beginning, you say, ah, everything's B'Sinai. It's only afterwards in the Hakdama that in fact actually what? Afterwards in the Hakdama that I find out that what? That really, like, you know, most things are not generated in B'Sinai. Right? You know that from the Hakdama to Parashat Mishnah, is from the Shemesh Shaini. The question is, what's the Rambam doing? The purpose of the Rambam is to show a Shoshelus HaKabbalah. That's what the Rambam is trying to do. In other words, the importance of the Rambam is speaking connected to the Karoyim. The Karoyim did not believe that there exists any type of Messiah. So comes the Rambam and says, no, there is a Messiah. There's a Patur, Shelby Alpeh. There are halachas that basically Chazal thought up in later generations, so and the Rambam says that even in Perek Beis and Mamim, they don't even have a Sanhedrin that's going to be helpful for Vinyan, talk about trying to bring a Sanhedrin. But in other words, you should know that there is a Kabbalah. That's what the Rambam is trying to do. Because what the Rambam is doing in Zagdava is classic of Shura Goyim did, and what many people, and we say a Kabbalah of the Rai did. And Lemaisa, this Sefer is called Sefer Kabbalah. The Miri called it, but it's called Sefer Kabbalah. The Miri is trying to show a Kabbalah. In other words, when I write, I'm not being a scholar. I'm trying to show there's a Kabbalah. The writing down of the Gemara, as far as he's concerned, doesn't shtel the Kabbalah. It's being passed from every generation. It's just going from what? From an oral culture to a written culture. If I say out word, oh, the Gemara was written in the 11th century, what you know, you're going to get some guy, probably on a blog, is going to say, hey, he said that, you know, Rashi Zaidi invented the Gemara. In other words, what the Miri is trying to show is that there is a Messiah. But the Messiah passes from what? From an oral to a written one. And that has ramifications in what? In the way Torah is learned, in the way Pesach Halacha has arrived at, but it doesn't have ramifications, right? As it doesn't in any way upset the continual hermeneutical process from Sinai until the time of the Mi'iri. So that's why he doesn't mention it.
So, but that answer would hold true for everybody else as well. In other words, the reason that Rashi Gaon and all the other people who were recording the Masorah didn't focus on the actual writing of the Gemara is because that was irrelevant. It was largely irrelevant because the Ikar wasn't that the tradition was authentic.
Yeah, but it's interesting.
It doesn't matter what form it was in.
I understand that. But the fact is, we see what I've tried to show, and I think the media is really saying this. We do see that once the text is written, there is a change in the way we learn, and I brought that out, you know, in the case of the Netziv, the Zagdama. In other words, you see there's a significance, whether it's an oral culture, whether it's a written culture. And that's the Netziv's going from, you know, Das to Pilpul. Now, I spoke about the Vil Shulim. In other words, if I want to understand this certain, we spoke about the early Rishonim arguing on the Abaroi Machoinim, this and that. In other words, if I want to understand the text of the Gemara, I have to understand that what the Gemara is recording is an oral tradition. There's a difference between recording an oral tradition and writing down a sefer for yourself. The purpose of the Shi'ur is to show the text of the Gemara is not strange. And it's not that they didn't know the Tosefta or they were basically, you know, fudging every Braisa and every Maimon in history, like some people want to say. But basically, the text of the Gemara is recording an oral tradition. Oral tradition works differently than a written tradition. Once the Judas is written, then I bring rayas from Tosefta's, I'm a dayik, I'm a farish, things, then already things work differently. That's what I was trying to say.
What would be the most specific date that we're saying that this happened?
It didn't happen, you know, in 1 year or in 1 month. It happened somewhere in the middle of the 11th century. I would say probably from 1130, 1140 to 11th century, from 1030.
From
1030
to around there,
1040.
So you say that Rashi, I mean, Rashi came out, that's when Rashi...
And Achanami, so let me see, Rashi is Yaakov and Yakar, I think it's considered already like one of the Goyim already come out.
Would it be because Rashi, because now that everyone has access to the Gemara, Rashi had to write down this Pshat?
Well, that's because it's, oh, I see, you have a Gemara, write a Pshat. No, the Pshat is it becomes a textual culture. Part of the facet of a textual culture is that everybody has the Gemara. And part of that is that right people should on the Gemara.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, because right before that we said that everyone just understood it.
Change could take place within the 10-15 years, that's for sure. The fact is that even, you should know something, even though Ben Hananel, there's a little bit of discussion, was it Ben Hananel, was not Ben Hananel, you know, the first clear Pelosh of the Gemara we have, which we're dying, and this and that, the father is Pelosh Rashi, and mostly being Ben Hananel, was being in the 11th century. That's what I'm saying. I think the point is very well taken. Now, what I want to go on and speak about now is that, but that seems to me, and I'm a little surprised, I'm saying with great humility, that that people who have devoted time to this, I mean, Zussman in his massive article, you know, Teira Shebi'al Peh, Pshutika Mashmo, he has it in the I think in the third volume of the studies of Hebrew University on the Talmud, it has a massive article about this. You know, must be thousands of Maramekaimis, Rishonim, Achonim, scholars, Apikos, and everything, everything works. And he doesn't even mention this Meiri. Doesn't mention this Meiri. And he speaks about oral culture, even quotes Parry and Lord's book, you know, The Singer of the Ballads in English, you know, this and that, even quotes English. He doesn't at all mention this Meiri. He doesn't bring any of the rayas, the Abishvua maybe requires a little bit more of an imagination, but I mean, he's a scholar, doesn't have imagination by definition, but I'm saying isn't that done. But even the Meiri, which is saying this outright, he doesn't, I can't believe he didn't see the Meiri. You've seen that much in the Meiri too. But I think the Meiri is saying it very clearly, there's a transmission from oral written culture, what time, at the end of what's called the Goyim, beginning of the Rishonim. I think that's very clear in the Meiri. Okay? Okay, fine. Now, this is all very, very nice, but I want to address now another question, which I think is really significant. Is that, like someone asked me a question before, we see that the Rishonim wrote two types of chiburim. They wrote Perushim, and they also wrote what's called Kitzurim. The Rambam wrote what's called Kitzur Halachis, the Ravid, but they also wrote Perushim. Rashid, Ramban, the Rashba. The Rashba, on one hand, wrote the Teras Habayis. Actually, that I don't call it a Kitzur or not, but you know, let's call it a Kitzur. And then he wrote his Perushim on Shas. Now, the fact is that these are two types of chiborim, two types of genres, and the Tziv speaks about it. The Tziv, who my Messiah from my Rosh Hashiva was the last person to have known Mamish Kol HaTera Kula, and the Osameach, he's Mesukhik. Kach Omali, Mayiv Rabbi, Rabbi Yankov Yafin, Zeses Ander Vocha. And he says his Rebbe is the Tziv. And the Tziv, in his Hakdama to Emek Sha'ela, he writes out several Hakdamas, and he speaks about two types of chiburim. He speaks about what's called Divrei. So it's the second Hakdama. The second Hakdama. And there in the second Hakdama, he brings a page, I think over here in the popular edition of Son of Cook, page 17. Oh, no, page 17. Oh, right, page 17. Okay? Right? He says, Lefi Peshut, he brings up, Kedat of HaKadosh, he brings up Pasuk in Koheles, Divrei Chachamim, Kedavayim, the Netzivos, he learned Teresh Mechsav, right? And he says, there were two Eifani Gedoli HaTer B'chol Dor, the two types of Gedoli HaTer in every generation. Yeshu Nekoim Chacham, the B'chol Chachamim. Shemamikim Loitzi Eirom Mimikra, they bring Hayrav from Mikra, B'yashim, Roisei Halacha. In other words, these are the Mefarshim. They go deep, right? And then there's Bali Asufis. Also from Kehelis. Heimah Ma'atzvim, Didim, Mefuzorim, Apiteya, Shemachsav. And they put it together, like he says. And Ibn Shalom HaMelech, Divrei Chacham Kedavonim, Shemalandim Ech Loitzi Yaroi Mimikra. How to bring from the Pesukim. But that's it, right? And Ech Lavin Shmua. And there's the Bala Sufis. And Rabbi Akiva had both these things. Okay? And then he goes on and says, in page 18, he says, V'chein Achra Talmud is of in Ashiltas, and the Bahag, and the Riv. These are the Bali Asufas.
After the...
Right.
What did he say? After the Talmud?
After the Talmud. Right. What? The Shiltas after the Talmud. Well, after the Chibur, Rav Adam Rav Hashi. Probably not being chodek on me. V'chein Achraya Barambam V'chadoyme. And there's the Bali Taisfas. Bali Taisfas, Chom Lohayrit, Shef Yediyas Boimek HaTalmud, V'chein Nimsha B'chol Davador. There's a whole... Now, the Maisa, actually, why does he bring this Hagdama? He wants to explain why is he writing a Perush on the Shiltas. Because the Shiltas for the Bali Asufas. And the Tzema is a whole Yisoy that for Bali Asufas with Mamek, and we understand better, sometimes with the Miyashiv, the Bali Asufas, we have to dig deeper into the Yama Talmud. Which really, it's been a long time since I've gone through. You have to actually read it in one sitting. To read it like piecemeal doesn't work. You get it like a Veseder in this. You have to like one sitting, spend like one morning, you know, going through the entire Talmud. And And this Hakdama, what he wants to do is he wants to show a little bit that there's actually like an interaction and a give and take between what's called Das and Eish. A little bit. In other words, he begins the saying that there's two aspects of the Torah. There's what's called Das, it's called Eish. And I think the implication is, certainly the way I learned it, Bialdusi, Karavina Talia, Yeshiva Sakadesha Beisei from the Valdik, 4027 49th Street, is that that's a Lamaisa, this back and forth, this dialectic between Das and Eish translates itself in what's called Chachamim and the Balei HaSufas. That's what he wants to put, that's basically what he wants to go at. Now, what's interesting is that in a certain sense, what's our Gemara, what's our Talmud? Well, let's even go back. We spoke about the redaction of the Talmud, and we spoke about the first Chachamim, these were what's called the Halachas, Psukos, or what, right, Chayra. And then we spoke about Rabbi Yehuda Ashi, started asking Kashas. And then we spoke about the concept of the Talmud as being a, you know, what we're doing in the Talmud, in the Gemara, is there's a, we're writing down what's called an oral transmission. And what happens is that's what gives rise to Pilpul. What gives rise to Pilpul is because since the matter of the Talmud is an oral transmission, just as written down, and there's always this hermeneutical, I'm calling it space, between the actual oral transmission as they understood it and as we see it as a text. That's the space which creates the pilpul. That's the space that creates the age. I'm saying a different nusach than it's safe. What I want to say is, and it could possibly be, that the Balei HaSufas and the Chachamim that the Tziv speaks about is somehow the lingering effect of the process. That was before that, it's oral versus written. But it might be that the oral written dialectic, which forms the corpus of the Gemara and its interpretation, expresses itself later on in history by the dialectic between what the Tziv would say, the Chachamim, the Balei HaSufas. In other words, I would say that just like the Tziv says in his first Hakdama, which I believe I quoted, the Mi'acha she'ein lana yediyas beis Rav Ashi v'ish v'pi ishi tzal lacha brua, al kein tzorach atal avoy v'lidlois mayim amukim b'chakira. And the Netziv makes us, in other words, the Netziv says here, we don't say that Rav Ashi Ravina came to a bus cut, and I show clearly why we don't, because it's an oral culture, they already, you know. So, because of that, we have to be chayka. In a certain sense, the Balei HaSufas are the same way. They say something, and we have to be chayka why they said something. In other words, what happens is that the text of the Talmud, basically, is cloned in every generation, and what takes over this hermeneutical space between oral and written transmission, this basically, the same process repeated, but it's repeated, right, vis-a-vis the hermeneutical space between the interpreter who looks for reasons and between the psukei halachas, which are given without reason. I mean, just see how many mefarshim there are on the Rambam. So, in other words, what I'm saying is that I don't think that anything conceptually, which I'm saying, is really different than the Tziv is saying. I mean, I'm speaking in terms of written and oral versus in terms of what he says, but actually, in fact, I see that all I'm saying is really just sort of like a Tavshin Samach Tes version of the Hakdama to the Ha'emek She'ela, that this dialectic between Das and Eish is really, in a certain sense, can be understood as really this dialectic between oral and written culture. I mean, the reason I'm saying it, like the way I'm saying it, is because if I understand the Talmud as being a written oral culture, which is almost like Tata de Sasre, it's like a shatnas in and of itself, right? It helps us explain the difficulty in the Talmudic text. It helps explain why we cannot consider the Amoraim and the Sabaraim who edited it as being scholars who were looking who had a textual culture, was looking to find the best match and fit of Tosefta's and Bryce's and Maimon's, but people who were basically arriving at a Das Torah, and they would, as we explained in several sugyas, were, you know, using previous statements as proofs and rayas, right, in order to, you know, somehow to present their logic. Okay, so in other words, basically, as I see it over here, the outline which I've given, both in the nature of the Talmud, and also I've given a historical process to it, very much fits into the, you know, a concept, you know, of the Nitziv. You know, it's a very, very important thing. I think I remember one time teaching the Nitziv many, many years ago, and the Nitziv says the Balei Tesis, you know, didn't have so much Beseira. They said things by Svara, and like one person, like almost like, you know, how do you say something like that? I thought everything the Tesis says is like a Bala, like this, you know, Beseira, like, you know. I mean, the fact that you can say something like this, but no one learns a Tesis like that. But the fact is, the Nitziv says it explicitly. The Nitziv has a... Okay, fine. Okay, now, I want to go on to one more Nakuda, which I think here is important in the Meiri. Okay, the Meiri goes on and speaks about what he calls Chiburim, right? He speaks about the time that goes from the Zmana Ga'oides, Vigia Zmana Rabbonos, and in fact, Vushaloines Askub Yeshiv Mufosemes, Rak Ba'abastorim, Omehem Betlosa Sidre Levat, Vigamehem Hem Ayu Oizvim Kitsas Pesachtois. In other words, what happened was, the people started learning, you know, they started being Oisek, and in other words, they stopped being, in other words, they were always going to force Torim, right? And some of them are only Isaac really in three starvin. Now the fact is, what's interesting is that the Meiri says, the Meiri says previously, during the time of the Ga'inim, right? During the time of the Ga'inim, the Meiri says, he speaks about the yeshivas.
Page
123. Okay? He speaks about the yeshivas, geduleim or pre geduleim. In other words, he speaks about the yeshivas, but sometimes he speaks about the goyim. At least in Talmud, right? Right? Hashiva yukuvuyim v'chol akilos hayu misnadvim la'amidim ima talmidim v'chvoyed godu. He used to support the yeshivas. By the way, this was in the Sefer Kabbalah Deraiva, that in fact, you know, they went to collect the money for the two yeshivas. Ad shekol ha'rotz hayu mehem har beishu sholchim b'neim sham l'moid. People were sent to the yeshivas. Uch shalomdu kol tzokhim l'fi yotzenim haya kol akad shavu mishpachtoi v'yal achuzosoi. Mehem b'talmud, okay. Mehem b'talmud tlasa tidre. In other words, some of them were baki in three starim. That means moid noshim l'zikim. And he was called a chacham. And some were baki in abba tidre. And he was called... But Tosefes Sefer Kodshim, and he was called a Rav. In other words, if you knew three Storim, it was called Moed Noshe Nezikin. If you knew Kodshim, you were called a Rav. Now, I don't know today with Brisk, if you just know Kodshim, you don't know Moed Noshe and Nezikin, what you call again. I don't know. Half a Rav. Umehem Talmud Shisa Sidra. Some of them knew six Storim. In other words, but Tosefes Roy Mataris, but Ali Aroy, they call it Goin. You were called a Goin. Remez, Shishim is Sechtois, basically makes a gematria that Shishim is a gematria goin. Etc., etc. Okay, now, it's interesting is that the goinim were actually Isaac and all Shishas Dorim. All Shishas Dorim. Okay? That's why she was the Meiri. At least, if you were called a goin, you knew Shishas Dorim. And we spoke about earlier on in Chof Bet Aleph in Brochais, the Gemara is the question, "May ben Daris Rishayim ben Daris Achrayim?" And the Daris Rishayim, they were basically Isaac like Nezikin, and when they came to a mission Uktzin, they said, "There was, they, you know what? They said Havayis der Avi Shmuel," and we have place a mesifta. We have place a mesifta. Right? And what's in Mashba? It's Mashba in that Gemara there that, you know, that they regularly learned, in other words, they regularly learned I'm Taharas. So I see that, you know, the question is, but Lamai said, we don't have a Masechta on Taharas. We don't have a Masechta on Taharas. And, but there's no Masechta on Taharas. Now, what's interesting is that the fact is, there's a question is, how come we don't have a Masechta on Taharas? Is it because...
That's a question already, the question is relevant already to Rav Ashi. Not just on the...
I understand that. But in other words, the question is, what, how come we don't have a Masechta on Taharas? Right? And, no, so this Gemara, it's Mashma, that at least in the Gemara, in Rav Ashi, they had place of a sifter, even in Taharas. And, so, in other words, there's difference of opinions on this. Professor Zussman wrote a doctoral thesis in which he wants to show that the Maisa, that the Maisa, in fact, there was never a Masechta Taharas. They didn't learn Taharas regularly in the yeshiva. That's why it's not Masechta Taharas. It wasn't the Masechta Taharas, it was lost. They didn't write it. So Taki brings his Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Bet Aleph. So what he does, he says, Eina Chanami, you know, from the Gilsa of our Gemara, but he brings us Rav Shmuel Goyin, that's an opposite different Gilsa. And there he says, I don't know, Abba Sidri. And he brings us here, Yemenite Gilsa, and they're not Goyres, Oxen, etc., etc. Now, it could possibly be, right? Now, the fact is that we know that the Goyinim definitely learned Mishnayos Taharas. In fact, actually, I think Epstein put out many years ago a pelush of the Goyinim, at least by little Goyinim, on parts of Taharas. So, but it's interesting over here, he says, is that if you are Chacham, you learned, you know, if you're called, if you're called a Chacham, you learned 3 Storim, and it was 4 Storim. In other words, what's clear from this that only the Ga'inim is mashma, that only, if you learned 6 Storim, you were called a Ga'in. And the Lamaise, the time of the Ga'in, there was only one person who was called a Ga'in. So, what we see over here is that there's no question about it that they learned Taharas. But when the Gemara was first written down, and there was no more Tkufas Ga'inim, right? So what did they write down? They wrote down those mesechtes that most people had learned, namely, actually comes out apostolic, right? Meaning, you know, Moyed, Noshim Nezikin, and Kachim, and now just well, Yerushalmi. In other words, what I'm saying is that there was a limud of Taharas in the Shiva Zagoinim, but in fact, there's no text of the Talmud. And what I want to suggest is that the Gils of the Gemara is correct, which means is that we have Tlasa Mesefta, Perushim on Oktzen. But the fact is that what? The fact is that in the writing of the Talmud, when the Talmud was written, only these stories were written down. They were only written down. Now.
Because Arishvim didn't know this.
What?
Arishvim didn't know
them? Right. I don't think they didn't know that. They didn't follow need to, because now they're writing down a text. In other words, the Torah goes to the world as a text. They have to be Meira Halacha. And there's no reason to know Taharas. I mean, whatever Sugis and Taharas have to know, they put it in the Bavli. You know, and let's say we saw in Temura, in Shabbos, there were different Sugis. They didn't see there was a need. You know, in other words, since it wasn't Halacha L'maisa. Now, you might ask me a question, what about Kachim? The Zorayim, you could say in El Jisrael. That they will show me. But not in Bavli. But what about Kachim? The question is, how come they saw a need to write kachim? So I want to claim it could be like the Gemara Menachah said, "Kol ha'aisik ba'olas ha'ayif." Right? Ke'ilu he could ba'olas ha'ayif. In other words, Chazal said that there's an inyan to be Isaac and kachim. If in the Chofetz Chaim, I think, created a whole kailel based upon Tzipisa Legula to be Isaac. So since there was an inyan to be Isaac and kachim, they learned kachim. They learned kachim. But in other words, there was no inyan for them to learn Taharas. The time of the Goyim. So, but in other words, the oral tradition was never converted to a written tradition. I mean, so what I'm saying is, you can keep the Gils of the Gemara. You have to throw it away. You keep the Gils of the Gemara. It's just that what? It's just that. In other words, when it came, in other words, in the oral culture, they learned Shishas Hidli. Maybe like, you know, the Shpitz Talmidim, like learning with the Rosh Hashiva like once a week Taharis. But it's not like you had a whole koilo that only learned this Taharis in Nomayid. But what I'm saying is that, in other words, when it became a written tradition already, in other words, there was no Gemara written by Taharis, yeah.
Rav Shmitz is claiming that Ravina and Rav Ashi actually codified a Seder of Taharis, but then...
They learned it. It was an oral tradition, but
was
it was
the Nusach of Taharis?
There might have been a Nusach. There might have been an oral Nusach of Taharis, yeah. That's what I claim, but it was never written down.
So then...
What?
Gret says that.
And they just decided not to write it.
He was a chavusa of Shem Shafarash, wasn't it? Yeah, by the way, the Deus Rishayim quotes him with covet in the last chapters. Anyway, whatever it is. Because he agrees with him on it. Whatever it is, anyway. Yeah. That's what I think. That's what I think. In other words, because what Zussman seems to be saying, I mean, he said it 40, 50 years ago, I don't anymore, is that Zussman wants to claim that Lamai said, like, they did, like, you know, in the Yibarayim too, like, they didn't learn, they learned Titus. Which is ridiculous. I mean, they know the Shishas Hidli.
It's not a story that was written down and we don't have it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think so. I mean, I think
there's
like...
There's no Shildas on it?
No, not really. But I claim they did. That's what I claim. I think it wasn't... The text was never written down. That's what I claim. It was learned in the thing. Okay, in any case, we're going to stop over here. I think, actually, Baruch Hashem, we've come to a... We've landed, we've come to a very clear picture of really the historical development and everything. And only the thing that needs to actually be spoken out is like, no, what do we learn from this? What's the Musa? How are we going to use this to make ourselves better Jews? And this is certainly going to make ourselves better Jews, but how to make ourselves better Jews, don't you sit in suspense for another week, and next week you meet Hashem, I will tell you how this is going to make you a better Jew. Until that time, from an undisclosed location, Yerushalayim HaKadosh, Kol Tov.